I did want to end this by, it's an interesting video that I seen with regard to CNBC. And they were breaking down about how companies are now investing in robots, AI-powered robots, and whether or not they were going to replace us in our jobs coming in the future. Make sure y'all hit a like for the algorithm, subscribe to the channel, and turn on your notifications. Let's get it popping, y'all.
Hey, Digit, take the box with the heaviest animal and move it to Tower 4.
Why do you say being a landlord is not for the weak, Eric Daniels? Being a landlord is very easy. It is very, I may get a call maybe once every 3 or 4 months. From 17 properties, I may get a call once every 3 or 4 months. And it's for something big. Hey, the air is out. You know, it usually happens up to the summer or something like that. Hey, the air is out. You know, I'll send a, you know, person that's going over there, HVAC tech or something, and I may have to replace a furnace or replace the air unit itself if, you know, it's an outdated unit and I got to give it the utmost up-to-date one. That's it. Being a landlord is very, very, very easy, bro. It is, if you do it the right way and you're not pressured financially and you treat your people right and you build a great relationship and you vet your tenants effectively, you will have zero problems as a landlord. You will have that. I'm telling you, they lying to you. You can absolutely put yourself in the best position possible to be able to benefit when it comes to being a landlord. And the problem is that everybody is looking to take advantage of everybody instead of looking to build a relationship with the people.
Is Digit, a robot who sort of looks like a person, hence the name humanoid robot. Technically, these are called bipedal humanoid robots using semantic intelligence. It's able to interpret commands from people and then make its own decisions about how to act. So the goal is for him to be able to interpret.
Somebody said, do I do inspections in my home? I do not. I have no reason to do inspections in my home. The only time that I have to do an inspection in a home is if the city says, well, you know what I'm saying? You got to make sure that you meet this expectation or I have to do something big. So usually I'm able to every year do like an assessment per home. And then I'll go and say, okay, well, eventually the roof is going to have to be replaced on that home, or we want to eventually replace the driveway. And I'll communicate with the tenant, but everybody is really clean. Everybody is really dope. And so I don't really have any reason to ever do an inspection. No, I very rarely ever have to go inside of a home ever, unless I'm going in there with a maintenance guy to make sure that everything is taken care of. But I never, ever do inspections on a home. Nope.
Normal human language to say, hey, I need you to pick this box up. Help me out in this instance. Is that where you see this going?
Yeah, and I think it will generally be probably less of a, I need you to do this one thing for me, and more of a, do this for me forever in the corner of the facility.
Robots like this one are catching the attention and billions of investment dollars from big tech companies like Amazon, Google, NVIDIA, and Microsoft. Elon Musk is betting the future of Tesla on these machines.
As you see, Optimus develop, it's really going to transform.
Was that inside of the cyber chat?
As you see, Optimus develop.
Listen, what you see robots look like right now, especially with all of the investment in AI technology and the development of these chips, it's going to be vastly different, and it's going to be much more developed than it is today. What we're looking at in 2024 is going to be way different than what it looks like in 2027. It's going to be more advanced. Robots are basically going to be assisting people, or basically we're going to be assisting robots and making sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do. I believe that when people ask me, hey, what industry should I go in and this and that and this and that, the first thing that comes to my mind is what will largely benefit you as far as playing a role in what is happening in the future. One thing that robots won't be able to do is manage themselves. So I always look to cybersecurity. I always look at cloud infrastructure. You see what I'm saying? I'm looking at things that's ultimately future-proof for maybe the next 20 to 25 years that is going to be critical, which means that they're willing to invest in a lot of money in that, because the one thing you don't want is your systems to be hacked, right? There's always going to be a future in cybersecurity. It's always going to be a future and cloud infrastructure. There's always going to be a future in software engineering, even if they go through a lull when they're doing layoffs. You see what I'm saying? So you have to start future-proofing the industries that you go in and stop getting basket weaving degrees or going into African-American studies.
It's really going to transform the world, I think, to a degree even greater than the cars.
Some also argue robots
like... We just need a lot of migrants in the meantime.
Digit can solve the world's labor crisis, filling jobs that are too dangerous or that people simply don't want. They may even replace an aging workforce as people around
the
world have fewer kids.
Today in manufacturing, we're short about 300,000 people. And it's something very similar in warehousing and logistics. So we're somewhere around 600,000-700,000 jobs we can't fill.
The idea of robots isn't exactly new.
Here I am, sir.
So why all the sudden attention? The big driver, artificial intelligence. These bots have seen quantum leaps in what they're capable of in just the past few years, thanks to AI.
Generative AI is really a key...
Audie, you said Detroit looks like paradise compared to Los Angeles. I'm thinking about moving there, but that car insurance is crazy. I don't use a car, really. The queue line is free. The people mover is free. I live, work, and play all in the same place. And most of the time, I would say 90% of the time that I hear, I actually ride my bike. I be on my bike. I got an e-bike. Most of the people that stop me and see me in the streets be like, "What up, Anton?" And I stop and I kick them with them on my e-bike. And then in the wintertime or other stuff like that, I actually catch the people mover. I catch the queue line. Or I'll just catch an Uber to where I'm going. But everything that I do, mostly, you don't really need a car like that. In downtown Detroit specifically. Now, if you're working in other places or stuff like that, then you may need a car. But if you live, work, and play in most of the same area, which it seemed like most people are doing, you don't need a car here like that. You can get around pretty easily.
Unlock overall for what you can get a robot to do, let alone a humanoid robot.
Robotics is where AI meets reality.
We are really at the cusp of solving one of the grand challenges of humanity. It'll change labor forever.
There is probably a need in the future once the humanoids get a bit more clever, a bit more perhaps autonomy. But until that point, I think the market will be fairly limited to PR spectacles.
It all sounds great, but will we ever trust
That's
robots
crazy.
Working in our houses, schools, and nursing homes? Will they ever be...
That look insane, bro. When they start putting faces on it, you can kiss y'all relationships goodbye. When they start putting faces on these people, on these robots, you can kiss your relationships goodbye. It's over. Because now they're not going to have to deal with no balloon pop shows. I can only imagine why the circuitry is going to go bad in the middle of y'all robots.
Safe enough, and how lifelike is too lifelike? And how should the U.S. think about global adversaries building similar fleets of humanoids? CNBC explores the rise of these AI-driven humanoids, and if they're really...
Christopher, I said if you live in downtown Detroit and you live, work, and play in the same area, you do not need a car.
Cure-all for our global workforce problems, or if this is another tech bubble. This hardware has been around for decades. Companies like Boston Dynamics, Honda, Sony, and others have wowed the public with early versions of these robots.
Why would we want humanoids? The prevailing sort of answer has been the world is built to be occupied by humans.
If we want robots that are versatile, that can do a wide range of things, then having it adopt the humanoid form factor always made a lot of sense.
Recent leaps in artificial intelligence have resulted in leaps for robotics. The data that they use to train these robots, it's based in real-world scenarios. Now a robot can be trained the same way a human is.
We have this technology called teleoperation. The person does the thing 200 times. We record all that data, and then we use that data to train these models. And the AI models are very similar to the GPT-style generative AI models. You feed in the 200 trajectories, and the system learns how the task is being done, and then the robot will do the task.
You know who spoke on this long time ago, back in what, 2020? Or was it 2016? It may have been 2020. You know who was speaking on this in 2020, 2019, 2018, 2017? Andrew Yang. Andrew Yang was speaking on this and he said, listen, the things that y'all are distracted by and the things that y'all are focusing on when it comes to manufacturing jobs and all of this stuff, it is absolutely off base. Every candidate that is out here talking to you guys right now are talking to y'all emotions. They're not talking about how industries are going to disrupt. This is what we need to focus on. We need to figure out how it is that we can modify, manage, tax, all of this stuff. Andrew Yang was the only political candidate, and it didn't resonate with people because it didn't tap into their emotions, and that's why he lost. He lost in New York. He lost when it came to the presidential race. He lost all across the board, but he was talking about this, and he absolutely was giving detailed policy. He had a website where he gave policy, and he was addressing exactly what it is that we're dealing with in 2024 and 2028 and 2032. He was addressing exactly what this was and why we needed to have serious conversations from a legislative perspective and also from a human perspective of how we were going to deal with this instead of playing catch up and then letting the legislators then be influenced by lobbyists to determine how it is that we're going to interact with robots. He 100% was addressing what was going on. I don't know if he would have been a great president because, you know, it's other things that he probably lacked on, but he absolutely was addressing this in his campaigns. 100%.
Autonomously.
If I go into a new space, I'm now not looking at spending months trying to code that problem. I can potentially just generate it straight out of Gen AI and be able to have Digit interact with new objects and in new environments without having to develop it all.
AI models require massive quantities of data to train off of, and this is no different.
If you show the robot enough things, it starts to be able to do things that it hasn't been shown before.
Big tech is very interested in the big potential this technology promises.
If you're going to do AI at the frontier, you need to be partnered with Microsoft or NVIDIA or Google or one of the big players. There's just no other way. They have resources that nobody else has, even governments.
NVIDIA's been a great partner up until this point. We're using everything from their hardware to their simulation, and then recently have started working with them on foundation models as well.
One of this industry's biggest proponents is Elon Musk. He's made some bold predictions that Tesla's robot Optimus could propel it to a $25 trillion market cap, and that it will amount to a majority of Tesla's long-term value, with demand as high as 10 to 20 billion units.
What did I say that Tesla was on Stock Club? And I'm not going to deep dive into it because we got a Stock Club coming up as soon as I can get some time and clear off my schedule. What did I say about Tesla? Don't type it in the chat. This is a rhetorical question. What did I say about Tesla when it comes to an investment, looking at it from an investment perspective? So many people are so focused on their cars. It's not what Tesla is. Tesla is not a car manufacturer. Tesla is a technology company that manufactures cars. Tesla is a technology company that manufactures cars. Cars are just one part of the overall goal and vision for the company and how it is that they generate revenue in order to keep shareholders happy and to make sure that they're continuing to make as much money as possible. Driving out the cost of it, then comes the technology aspect of it. If they can then upend an industry, or in other words, if they can disrupt the industry, they will. And one of the industries that they're trying to get ahead of and that they've been aggressively investing in, which it's the same thing when it came to electrification of vehicles. Now everybody is switching to hybrid motors because of regulations that's coming in worldwide and stuff like that. And eventually they're going to go over to electrification. Is Tesla is basically building an infrastructure, both technologically and physically out in the real world, that's going to support what it is that we roll with in the future. Tesla makes a huge amount of money selling credits. Tesla makes a huge amount of money now by basically licensing the ability for other manufacturers to allow for their customers to use their Cyberchargers or their Tesla chargers, right? Because they've already built the infrastructure behind it, and that's how they continue to make their money. Now they're saying, listen, the technology behind what we've been training our models to do is going to power and it's going to drive the stock price to this point because we don't compare ourselves against Toyota. We compare ourselves against Microsoft. We compare ourselves against NVIDIA. We compare ourselves against Apple. We compare ourselves against multiple different things in different industries that then determine what our stock price is going to be. So if you compare them to Toyota, you can say, well, okay, well, Toyota is making this much per quarter. They're a very, very traditional company. They have a lot of stability. It doesn't matter whether we're going through a pandemic or if we're going through the recession. Toyota has been a reliable company when it comes to auto manufacturers. Well, why is Tesla valued so much greater than Toyota? Because Tesla doesn't look at itself as a car manufacturer, so their stock price is not going to be reflective of what a traditional car manufacturer is going to be. It's going to be reflective of their future state and what they're investing in that ultimately is going to determine what the value of the company is. It all comes back down to the money.
Tesla is arguably the world's biggest robotics company because our cars are like semi-sentient robots on wheels. And with the full self-driving computer and all of the neural nets, it kind of makes sense to put that onto a humanoid form. And it's intended to be friendly, of course, and navigate through a world built for humans and eliminate dangerous, repetitive, and boring tasks.
Musk isn't alone in believing humanoid robots could change the world. Investors are pouring millions into startups, with the market expected to grow to $38 billion by 2035.
The funding that has gone into these, some of these companies has been absolutely huge. And I think that kind of the parallel with the AI funding.
This is the biggest market in the world. I mean, effectively, this has the potential to change the way we live and work pretty dramatically.
So basically what they're telling you is that disruption is coming. And so I know it's something that we rail against. So we say, we don't want this or whatever. It's going to take American jobs. It's coming. It's been here. It's already here. It's already invested in. People are embracing it. It's going to happen. The question that you have to ask yourself is, how can you participate in it and how can you profit from it? That's the only question that's left to be answered from you. Fighting it, like my man Thanos says, you can run from it. You can't run from it. It just is what it is. We're always going to continue to evolve. The question that you have to ask yourself is, do you want to continue to benefit from it or do you want to just continue to fight what's coming inevitably? Or you could be like the Hebrew Israelites and just wait to the end of the world and hope that you make it into heaven, which we know that a lot of them is going to have to answer for what they do to their wives. Neither here nor there. That's a whole nother conversation.